Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you, Mr. Christopher Fritchie and the wonderful band. We're getting used to being up early again and singing first thing in the morning. I'm sure you appreciate 9 o'clock rather than 8:30. Yeah. Our topic today is, we hold these truths, .. which is the beginning of one of the most influential and famous phrases in American English. And the phrase continues, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Self-evident means to be so obvious and so clear that it needs no explanation. So what in your life is so obviously clear that it doesn't need any explanation? That's a good question, because there's so much in life that isn't clear, right? Or obvious. So many nuances and complexities and so much mystery. And life is constantly changing and evolving. Like the Greek philosopher Heraclitus said, the only constant in life is change. Now, well, in our teaching, the science of mind, we say it is obvious that there is something more than change that is the great constant from which all change comes. So today we might ask ourselves, what in this reality that we are part of remains constant? What is always there, always present? What is true for all times and in all places and in all situations? What is the great constant? Because if I'm going to depend on anything, let it be that permanent something. Now, that's something big to think about. Because right now, I'm not talking about what do I like right now, because that can change this afternoon. I'm not talking about what political party do I belong to, because that can change. I'm not talking about who do I agree with, who do I like, what do I want. That changes. God knows all of that changes constantly. Kevin would not eat salmon. He didn't like it. It was self-evident to him that if he put it in his mouth, it was going to come back out. And not in a pleasant way. And then one day he said to me, you know, if I truly have agency and freedom over my experience, and if it is true, if it is possible for us to change our experience by changing our mind, I will eat salmon. And he did. Now, I can report to you that he has not fallen in love with it. But he is no longer a prisoner living in fear of the taste of salmon. Now, I mention that because I think of Kevin when I start talking about self-evident constant truths, to remind myself I'm not talking about my personality, my tastes, and my preferences. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about that which doesn't change with my moods and my habits, that which doesn't change from city to city, that which doesn't change from culture to culture, that which is the same today in my 60s as it was in my 20s. In science of mind, we call that life or reality. And we consider it to be an obvious and true statement that there is a power for good in the universe, life, that is equally available in all times and in all places and under all circumstances, evenly distributed throughout all that is, expressing itself as you and as me and in all that is consistently. And all that is comes from this power for good. Now call that the creator, if you like, or call it God, if you like. And if you like, you can say, as I do, it endows everything with its own nature and causes everything to be an individual part of one unified reality. There's the mystery. Individual, but equally endowed with the same spiritual something. No one more, no one less. No thing more, no thing less. And not only that, but also the spiritual nature that we are endowed with cannot be altered, deleted, canceled, removed, diluted, filtered, reduced, corrupted. And that is why we say our spiritual nature is inalienable. It cannot be taken away. It cannot be given away. It is absolute. It is unchanging. It is not negotiable. It is untransferable. It is inherent. It cannot be surrendered. It cannot be destroyed. And then here comes the but. But it can be forgotten. It can be ignored. It can be overlooked. Not only that, but what you and I do with this awesome reality that is our lives, that is where our freedom and our agency comes into play. Because you know how it is. We can know something is self-evident and ignore it. We can know something is bad for us and do it. We can be clear that something is correct and do something else completely. So when we, the people, do not live in alignment with that which is self-evident, and I'm talking about the obvious spiritual truth of our oneness, that's when we do weird stuff. So spiritual practice is whatever we do to get clear on the self-evident nature of the divine and then to live from it, not forget it. Spiritual practice is whatever you do, whatever I do, that allows me to be guided and inspired and motivated by the self-evident spiritual nature of life and not ignore it, so that my actions and my thoughts and my deeds and my choices lead to that which is harmonious with spiritual life. And to do that, I must turn to it regularly. And that is what practice means. The regular turning to that great constant. Or we can say spiritual practice is whatever you do to train your awareness to pay attention to the obvious truth of your spiritual oneness until the awareness of that oneness displaces anything unlike it, and all you are left with is a solid, sure, definite feeling of the presence of a power that is greater than you are, that is around you and through you and in you, that looks back at you when you look at life. And spiritual practice can be as simple as taking time to sit still and to say to yourself something like, the divine spirit within me is wholeness. It is complete. As it was yesterday, is now, and ever shall be. It is the spirit of infinite possibility and peace within me, and I recognize that spirit moving in my life. It, being divine wholeness, has no want and has no fear. It within me, being divine completeness, has no limitation and no doubt. It within me, as part of the everywhere present, all-knowing whatever it is always right where I am. So I say to myself, you know, you can talk to yourself this way. So I say to myself, there is that within me which guides me into harmony with life. And I let that divine spirit within me use me, like the song says, using whatever method it may to restore me to perfect wholeness and happiness, to bring into my experience that which is good and true. Now, these words, I practically know them from memory. They're an adaptation of words from our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, who wrote the book, The Science of Mind. And I want to take a minor detour today and talk a little bit about one of the phrases in that passage. Here it is. I let that divine within me, and here comes the phrase, using whatever method it may, restore me, these words, using whatever method it may. This is a very, very important teaching of the science of mind. It stands as a reminder to me that when my attention is firmly rooted in oneness through my spiritual practice, then I become open to my good coming into being, being revealed to me through whatever method it does. Whether that thing is a pill, or a doctor, or physical exercise, or diet, or therapy, or something that has not yet been discovered, or something else that I have not yet considered, or something else I don't yet know, because I am now, through my spiritual practice, open to the infinite, endless, amazing, creative genius that I call the universe. In other words, my practice leads me to place no limits on how the universe reveals itself to me for the good of all. So I try in my practice to adopt an attitude of openness to possibility, to revelation, so that my thoughts and choices are grounded more in wholeness and less in ego manipulation. Oh, that phrase. Using whatever method it may. It reminds me of a story that I've told, let's say in 30-something years, maybe 100 times. So I have to tell it again. It's the story of the man sitting on his roof in the flood. You know the story. He's sitting on the roof. It's raining and the water is rising. He is a believer in the divine. And he prays to be delivered by the divine. And a rowboat comes along, and the man says in the rowboat, jump in, I will take you to safety. And he says, I have prayed. God will save me. And the water continues to rise. Another boat comes along, and there's a woman rowing, and she says, get in. He says, I have prayed, and I will be delivered according to my faith. And the water rises, and a helicopter comes, drops down a ladder, says, get in, it's your last chance. And he says, I have prayed. And he drowns. And when he is in an interview with the divine presence, he said, what happened? And the divine presence, well, she says to him, I'm as confused as you are. I sent two boats and a helicopter. What were you expecting? See, I have to tell that story to myself over and over and over again because it's a reminder to me to welcome life while it is using whatever method that it may to reveal its inherent goodness as my life and to present to me possibilities and options. You know, this is another one of those well-known stories. Someone asked our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, if you believe in the power of thought to reveal wholeness, why do you wear glasses? To which he answered, because I can't see a darn thing without them. He saw glasses as an answer to wholeness. And through the glasses, he was able to see more of the wholeness of creation. In crystal clarity, he considered glasses to be a form of answered prayer. And when it is said that when people would ask him about medicine, should we take medicine if we believe in the healing power of the mind? Apparently, he answered, if the pill helps, take it. He saw medical science as one of the ways that the divine reveals itself. He saw science as one of the answers, the possible answers to prayer. Life to him was and is and always will use whatever method it may, a canoe, a powerboat, a helicopter, glasses, medication, to reveal the path of wholeness. Now, when I use the word life here, I mean life with an uppercase capital letter L. I'm talking about the one life. I mean the creative intelligence of the universe. I mean the divine. I mean the ground of all being. I mean the Holy Spirit. I mean the creative genius of the universe. And I mean to anchor my life in that life through spiritual practice until it becomes the self-evident truth of my life. I have to do that because I can get myself into trouble. You know, when I forget this spiritual truth of oneness, because I start to think it's all up to me and up to my mind and my plans and my thinking to figure stuff out. And so I start making plans about how things should be. And then when my plans don't work out, I feel like I've failed. Spiritually. Does anybody identify? Just the new assistant minister. When typically what is really happening is that life is trying every darn possible way to reveal itself to me as an answer without taking away my independence. My choice, my freedom. So in my spiritual practice, I remind myself, something wonderful is happening through me right now. It is this thing called life. Life is in my mind. Life is in my action. Life is in my body. Life is in my affairs. So I'm going to pay attention in a new way. Let me pay kind-hearted, curious, excited attention. Attention to what is life trying to reveal to me for my good and for the good of all, because it's never about me alone. I'm expecting the natural wholeness of life to reveal itself to me, to us. And I know that there are many, many, many ways that my prayer, that my demand on life, can be revealed to me, and I want to stay open and available to it. It is the self-evident truth of our spiritual teaching that we are surrounded by a powerful good greater than we are. So let me ask myself, what ought I to be paying attention to, and what ought I to be letting in? And at the same time, I want to remain authentic and real about those times when the process of healing and growing is just awful. You know, when it seems like no canoe and no helicopter is coming. Or when it feels like things are stuck or getting worse. You know those times? And it can feel like inner peace has flown out the window And I want to remember that, you see, because I want to know that there is a place for everyone here, no matter what is going on in our consciousness, especially during those times when we are feeling less than clear, less than whole, less than perfect, less than complete. Because don't you know, when I feel sure somebody else doesn't, and when I feel lost somebody else knows the way, we're in it together. The spiritual truth of our being doesn't elevate one of us above the other because of what we're going through. You can say amen. Yes, it is true that we teach that our thought is creative. Yes, it is true that we teach that we participate in creating the world to be the way it is. And yes, it is true that we teach we can change our attitude and change our appreciation of salmon. And here is the part that is sometimes forgotten. And we also teach the importance of being compassionate with ourselves and with each other when we are facing the difficulties and challenges of life, because we know that when we are going through stuff, we don't always show up as our best. We don't always behave like the high-minded spiritual beings that we are clearly capable of being. See, I'm thinking about our nation right now, our world. You may have noticed people are feeling stressed or slightly edgy. Irritation is really easy to spark and fly up, flare up. The lack of focus and the inability to stay centered, you know, one might say of another one, you're not showing up as the spiritual being. You're not being as high-minded, as centered as you could be. Because stress can do that, whether it's from politics or a divorce or illness or a relationship or one of the social stresses that flaring up in our faces. We're going through, I might say, one of the dark nights of the soul. That in the end, I trust, will transform us and reveal our inherent oneness again. Our country is working through some challenging changes and growth. It's as if the wholeness we claim to believe in is educating us about what wholeness means. And it is educating us, as if it is educating us by bringing our blocks to oneness right up into the open. And while we are working through it, it sometimes seems we are not able to keep our focus on our interconnectedness or our diversity or our shared humanity. You know, all the things that are at the heart of being America. But I say it is another temporary departure. And I say that it is up to people of faith to remain constant with the great constant by saying to ourselves, divine life is consistently revealing itself to me for the good of all. I am available to it and more aware of it every day. It is my nature. It is my way. And I will not depart from it. There is a practice we can use. It's based on a Buddhist practice and goes something like this. It can help us be constant with the great constant of life. You know, throughout the day, at any time, try looking at anyone that you encounter and then silently offer them this blessing. May you be happy. Or when in traffic or standing in line, silently offer a blessing to random people. May you be well. Or when you're in a disagreement with somebody, on the news, silently offer this blessing. May you be peaceful and at ease. Or when you feel alone or angry or sad, simply offer this reminder to yourself. There is a power for good in the universe, and it is revealing itself as oneness through me constantly. I'd like to bring our time together with a prayer from our prayers of wisdom and vision. And if you don't have one of these, they're available in the social hall. This is for this week, the week of July 4th. I invite you to breathe in and let your eyes close as you exhale. There is a power for goodness that is unlimited in its reach. This power creates life in every moment, and it creates it from its generosity and its love. It joins all of life in unity and connection. It is all-inclusive and everywhere present, and this power is flowing through me. It flows through me as my love and my generosity. These are my inheritance. I am one with all of life. Right now, in this moment, through this prayer, I accept a greater realization of the power within me. I accept it is revealing peace and love in my life. And through this prayer, I am affirming that I am a presence, a conduit for this peace and love. In this way, unity and connection govern all my relationships, and I am generous with my thoughts, with my attention, and with my focus. And so I gently clear my mind of any ideas that do not serve this great goodness, and I enter into a state of spiritual vision. I hold the highest and best outcome foremost in my awareness. And I value the gifts of spirit and use them wisely. I rejoice in the knowledge and understanding of this revelation of truth. And with a grateful and humble heart, I accept it as already true and done. And then we bring our time to prayer by saying the formula that means amen. We say it together. And so it is.